Okay, my name is Changbin Chen. So, some of you may have already seen me yesterday at vegetable breeding because I'm a tomato breeder also. Here, I like to present the medicinal plants as special crops for Midwest. Just after like 6 years of testing, we are trying to recommend some herbs to the growers, which we are looking for the new sources for the local growers or for the food supplements here. And then I want to give a simple talk. Basically, I want to say, okay, if you want to grow a plant, you want to see where you want to sell. So who is going to buy this? So that's the first thing. And the second, I want to what really on demand you can grow it. The first we'll see, just want to see the other part of the world, the really high demand of these medicinal plant herbs. Here we have not really start much to supply to them, and they're eager to, you know, to get this, to want to get this from the place like United States or Canada, because we have less pollution air and land, and so that they want to have get better quality of herbs. So I want to give you an example. See, in China and other countries, oriental countries, in China only, the medicinal plant herbs selling about $15 billion a year. So about 30% of the overall world consumption of medicinal plants. Some of them have been established over 500 years. And you see, where are they going to do that? Like a trading part. I want to give one example for one trading center. So this is an established trading center, somewhat like over 100 years trading center, but 17 of the national super centers. I want to give you one example. You can see what kind of volume of this kind of herb demand in China. So the example it's giving you one, it's not a bigger one, biggest one, but it's one next to the capital, it's Beijing. So it's called Anguo Medical City. So that's the whole place, this place. And it's a city. It's a city have like the population is about 370,000 people, and two-thirds of the people working on the medicinal herb trading or growing farming part. And then the whole city, this is a map just showing the whole city, all the lanes related to medicine, herb medicine, so the streets or avenues, all named like that. And they have a medicine trading centers. It's one of the 17 biggest trading centers in China, so you can see, and the others are limited. You see, this is the front, and the trading volume for this, only this one center, its annual trading is about, the Chinese say is about here, about $770 million, and the daily trading here, you can see that over about $3 million, because each day only trades 3 hours, that's trade, only the herb deer is about like $1 million trading each hour, so every hour is about that. So what are they doing there? So basically, if you see here, this is just showing, okay, here, if you weeds come here, become medicine. But if it's medicine come here, becomes aroma. So that's what they're saying is. If you go inside, they have two main floors in this treating center. They have, if you see this, like inside like this, they have many booths, so 2,200 booths of each of this kind of treating center. And then there's a service center, which basically once you get the business done, and it's good, there's a computer center and get all trade. This is just to give you the place to give us samples, and then you can see what you're going to buy. So that's, and then each species, they have all different kind of processing method and get result differently. So that this is a moringa, because this is the most common tonic herb in China also. And it's American ginseng. So you see that American ginseng is the whole street. So that in that city, the American ginseng stores the whole street, over 50 stores. Each store have like pretty much half of this room. So those just showing where you can get your products go. So that's if you get one whole lot, that's enough for your farm. So that's once you get there, so that's just that we can sell it to them. They can look at the product from the U.S., so we can do sell them. And second, we're looking for local farms, local market. So if you see in the USA, we have $26 billion herb trees in the USA. But this one is mostly what's called mainstream number. It's not include most of numbers you get sold from the grocery stores, from the local oriental stores. So how about those parts you can see in what's called herbal medicine and functional food through the sales of the herb store, grocery stores, and restaurants. And in Minnesota, we have like about 200 stores in the city, only in Minnesota. So that's one thing you consider. Include that a typical herbal pharmacy, these are all different herbs, and then there's demand. So right now, they said most of them come from China, but really demand, they want to have locally grown medicine plants, material for them. So they're really looking at it. And I get a lot of letters from the clinics and also from the restaurants. They want to have the freshly grown local food and suppliers. This are one of the grocery store, they have a whole section selling all these herbs, all different kind of herbs. I just shown it, you can see. And in the restaurants, they make the wonderful dishes for all those herbs. Many herbs in the oriental countries, they look like what they call tonic. So many kind of like strengthen your health and prevent diseases. So that's most of the stores are doing this. That's it. Okay. So if we have idea where we can sell this product and what can grow. So in the past about 6 years, and I have been taught the class called Medicinal Plants in the University of Minnesota, and we did tests. So we picked 68 species of medicinal plants, and each one the world market is over $10 million. So each one of the over $10 million, we picked 68 species. So those are not common growth horticulture crops. But so we did, and we were fortunate to have a gift from Mary Hoover from California. So asked support us to test in Minnesota. So we have the garden test all the 68 species, and then after 6 years, we have the result, and then we recommend about 18 species and the two fungal species for the U.S. growers here in Midwest. And some of the species can survive, but the year is low. Some it takes a long time establishing, so we just get that away. Some of them is already there, so we don't need to grow more. We just go there to pick. So that's what we also not recommend. We recommend about 18 species. So associated with these activities, we test this and make the final recommendation. We also have established one medicinal plant growers group. So about like 20 people there. So it come from different local farmers, gardeners, and also students who want to start business with medicinal plant. And we also form a kind of farms and gardens to kitchens and pharmacies that can network. So basically we have people linked to all the clinics locally and also the grocery stores. They say, okay, if you have it, we're going to sell it and we're going to use it. So that's we all had established. And there's a test for large scale growers. We have tested, we know the plants survive there, and we start to test about like large farm. As an example, this is a farm we grow Canopsis. The first group people grew here at the start get the half acre started. So here is a list of 18 species, and then I'll give you one by one, just a quick introduction about each species. So first species, ginseng, it's a large market in oriental countries. So as an example, this farm from Wisconsin, who's ginseng, so his farm is one family farm, $6 million annual sales, and one crop, just American ginseng. So it's a market about like 5% of the market for American ginseng sales. So it's you can see it, only 5%. So you have still 95% there, their demand you want to go. And then the people liked the ginseng from the U.S. So American ginseng from America, that's good. So they have like Canada or other countries, they also grow this, but they like to come from here. So this is, you can see those the farm operations, I kind of shown it. And second, it's a nuance conopsis. So this one called permanent ginseng, it's very easy to grow, it's a weed, but it's very high demand for the other countries. And for many people there, because the yield is higher than ginseng and easy to grow. So we have grown there in Minnesota, doing very well here. And Angelica is the number one for blood tonic plants. So it's basically, the test has shown that 15% of red blood cells increase if you take this like over weeks. And you use the motor system like a rat. So this is the one species. And it's grown so well in Minnesota or Midwest part. And goji berries, also here we call the wolf berries, and it's very, very commonly used and for the for the vision. If you have like a blurred eyes and for the vision problem, just drink the tea all the time. That's just and also easy to grow in the Midwest part. And it's shown just little berries. And this mulberry, we see this weed, or it's very bad because it gets dropped through. But this mulberry is also one of the top herb uses and in the other countries. Here we can easily just collect, and then we can grow some and collect. And this one's just tested recently, Illucero here, which is called suburban ginseng. And it's wonderful for tinctures, prepares for tinctures, basically for the arthritis, if you have a problem there. And this one is super good, and then it grows so well in Midwest. And hawthorn fruits, and that's the hawthorn stick, it's very popular. And lily bulbs, so we saw lily, it's just flowers, but they're here, it's selling as functional food, so lily bulbs. And also the Chinese yarn. This one's very high yield. Chinese yarn in the U.S. mostly product from California, but Minnesota can do well also. We did grow it and then survived the Minnesota winter, so it's so nice. You collect and then put back again, so you grow. Yes?
Is that the same as air potato?
No, different species. The air potato, this is a very small, it's a different species, same genus, different species, air potatoes. Yeah. So that's use a root, and very high yield as a root. About $5 fresh, $5 a pound. Each root about like 5 pounds. So basically you get one root for 5 pounds, $25 there. And acetis. Mint, the most common is the mint here use. And saffron, safflower, so also, and you know that saffron is most expensive species in the world, but it's very popular using for food dye, and it's also for the blood tonic. Saffron sometimes just kind of replace, but if you don't notice, you just use these thick ones, it looks like the saffron, but it's different. You can add it because this saffron are flowers, but saffron are just a stigma. Okay. And it is often put together with mulberry to make a wonderful wine. And also this mumflower. Mumflower is very common use for the tea, so it's very common use for tea. in the other countries and also here also. And it's Agastache. It's bees pollinator friendly plants and it's also very commonly used medicine. And the salmon sears is also one of the species with tessin and it's commonly used. And this one also is it's a different name here, and it's Balakanda. It's the Chinese. This one is for flowers. It's hardy flowers. Yeah. And this one is hard to grow, but it's commonly used to treat the nervous system disease like Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease. And then it's very expensive because this kind of these plants have no chlorophyll. So you have the chlorophyll. So you have to grow with a mushroom together. So it's called the honey mushroom. So they, together they grow, they produce tubers. So the last the two species we kind of put here, the fungus, and one is Ganoderma. It treats cancer and also ornamental, so you can grow it just for the decoration. And another is Poria. Poria is help for stress release or put in help you to not you know, good night's sleep. Sometimes you get stressed and not able to sleep. So this one. So and then that's about 20 species we recommend to grow there. And any species you grow, we harvest. We get there. So we have no problem. We have done the market investigation and we have done all the analysis, so it should be able to get all done. And then thank you Mary Hoofer and also Emily Hoofer for the gift fund, and also thank Jerry Colcombe for his farm and all the students who worked in it for about 7 years, and we get tested all done. So, questions? Yes? Thank you. Yes? Okay. So the question is about if you use lily pulp as in food, how you kind of detoxify this lily toxin here. So basically, very common way to process the lily bulbs are just boil it. So that's it. So if you see the market, all the boiled lily bulbs there, and then it need to be cooked. So if you get a freshly, most so one of the top 10 Chinese dishes, they use the lily bulbs. They're always cooked, so that once they cooked, the toxin will be kind of degrade. So that's.
Is that every variety is possible on the herb or food?
The question is whether or not every variety. You mean the lily, right? So yes, the lily, mainly we use it the lily brownie. So it's most common garden lilies or it's Easter lily. So yes.
I wanted to ask you if there are any if you're going to be
okay, so the question was what are problems if you do large farming? So is there any diseases or some other issues related to this medicinal plant? Yes, so that's why it's a different species is different. For example, ginseng, you have to use the land we call the virgin land. You can keep routine, and so you cannot reuse the land for and this over 5 years, 6 years, because the virus and the other diseases were, you know, they also know those roots are good, so they can have infection and eat themselves. Yes, so other species like Canopsis, much more easier, and also others, yeah, different species, a different problem. We have already investigated the major part, but not, if you grow different species, we can and recommend a different way to kind of prevent this happening. Okay, yes.
That farm that was there, the 60 million of ginseng, I think it was?
Yes.
How big was that? How many acres were there?
Oh, so the rotation part each year about 40 acres, I think, a little bit more than 40 acres, but overall about 200 acres, because the ginseng is a 5 years rotation, so that's how they did basically.
5 year
rotation. Yeah, 5 year rotation. So the crop is going to be harvested in 5 years, so year four harvest the crop, so it gets a rotation, and yeah, so about 200 acres, they keep changing. So that's why they basically, what they did, they just said, okay, I rent 40 acres this year from you, and for 5 years, and then return back to you, and then they rent others for that. So they don't have their own fixed farmland, they just rotate and rent different farmers' land. That's it. Yes? Outside the material, where the saffron is grown. So saffron mainly grow in the Mediterranean area, like Iran and Spanish part. Yes.
In China, which is more desired, the wild ginseng or the cultivated ginseng?
Okay, the question is, in China, what kind of ginseng is more desired, wild or cultivated?
Yeah, in America.
In America? They desired wild, but only for those really much more higher price. So if you wild ginseng, right now it's selling about like £1. I think average about $300 to $500 a pound. But for the cultivated ginseng, mostly about £1 for $120. That's dry ginseng. And they, of course, desire wired. But right now, they make people just collect wired and transplant into the farm. Then there is what they call transplant half wire grown ginseng, because that kind of year is going to be a little bit higher. Yes?
What is the
rotating?
In the fifth year, what do you rotate?
Most of the time, we rotate, because in the north part, we rotate with corn or soybean. So that's typical. Crops will be no problem.
And then after that,
no, you have to wait for 25 years, so 5 months. So it's long time waiting to can get back. Otherwise, the disease is still in there. Yeah, they have a risk because you have to grow the crop for 5 years. So it's yeah. If there's any residue there, they will come back to your crop. So that you don't want. Yeah, okay, thank you.